You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
All right, well, turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs 13. I'm going to continue what I started teaching on this the other day on Sunday, on fellowship. Everybody say fellowship.
Fellowship.
And we're going to talk about the importance of fellowship, associations. Of course, it ties into church and being around God's people and coming to church and how important that is. And also the people you hang out with, as it were. You know, you can tell more about a person's associations. You can tell more about a person by his associations than you can about his blood relations, if you think about it. I mean, I may, you know, who I hang around with gives you an idea of what my likes, dislikes are, what I'm really like. I pick my friends. I'm stuck with my relatives. Are you with me?
Amen.
Those are my choosing. Friends are my choosing. And so that's why God talks about who you choose and who you choose to hang around. He talks a lot about, you know, we talk about dating, we talk about marriage and what the Bible says about that, how important it is to hang around Christian people and so on and so forth. The reason being is just it's because we're wired in such a way. I mentioned earlier about the sun and the moon and all that. We are wired in such a way that we reflect what we're in front of. That's just the way it is. That's the way it's always going to be. We're going to grow whatever gets planted in us. We're just ground. We're just dirt. That's it. That's all we are. And whatever we're around is going to get in us, and whatever gets in us is going to produce. And so associations are important. What we hear is important. What we see is important. That's why the Bible says in Psalms 1, blesses the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight's in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he, this blessed man, who meditates in the word day and night, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But if you'll back it up, it's his associations. It's what he does with his time, who he hangs around with, and so on and so forth. Not walking in the way of the sinner, stand in the way of the sinner, sit and see the scornful. No, you know, if that's going on, you stay around that, you're going to get affected by that. You're just going to pick up some seed just by scattershot. Even if it's not intentionally planted in you, just being around it all the time, you're going to pick up things. Now, I understand on a job we don't have much choice there, and our neighbors, and we don't have choice, our relatives. We're talking about who we fellowship with.
Yeah, amen.
And all through the Bible, you see how associations either help someone or hurt someone. You know, we need the good peer pressure that comes from church. I need that good peer pressure. I live right and holy, of course, because I want to please God and because I'm, you know, in the Word. But I live right and holy because of you in many cases. A lot of times I'll think about what would they think? What would the church think if they saw me doing this or doing that? It keeps me straight. That's good peer pressure. That's not a wrong motive. That's a good motive because we need examples and role models and we need each other.
Yes, amen.
Are you with me? It's very, very important that we stay around Christian people and walk in the Word, walk around Christian people. And little by little, we're changed. It doesn't happen overnight. You know, when someone gets saved and they come in, they're kind of rough around the edges. How many of you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I understand that. And we have to have a lot of patience with people, especially when they're early stage, when they first get saved. But thank God for that passion and that fire. I love that passion. I mean, you get someone that's just clutched out of the fires of hell, and I mean, they're turned on. They'd witness to a telephone pole. Sometimes their language is not all cleaned up. You got to work on them, you know. And I don't like it either. I mean, I'm not advocating bad language. Stay with me. But you have to work with a person. They need fellowship. They need some role models. They need to learn how to live.
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
Young marriages need other married couples that are serving God to know how marriage should be. They need parents with children to know how to raise children and how to be a right parent. I hope you were raised right. Maybe you were raised in a Christian home. But it's possible that you weren't. And it's very possible if you weren't that you picked up some pretty bad habits. This is not to say you're bad, and we're not pointing the finger. I've got no stones to throw. I'm just saying as we get in the Word, we realize, hey, you know what? I shouldn't be doing that. And we get around other people, and we realize some marriages, they don't really holler at each other all the time. Well, I noticed he didn't hit his wife when she said that. Maybe I shouldn't be hitting my wife. Well, maybe you shouldn't. But you know, I use that as an example because it wakes you up. Proverbs 13, found it?
I had to apologize to my wife.
Yeah, you may learn some stuff to Mike. Listen up here. This is good. Proverbs 13, notice this, verse 20. And this is a law. This is just the way we're wired. It's the way we're made. He who walks with wise men will be wise. But the companion of fools will be destroyed. See, you can't walk with people without being affected by them, be they good or bad. I mean, that's why you ought to hang around people that are stable and so on and so forth. Maybe you're not so stable. Well, hang around people that are, and you'll get a little more stable. Amen. I mean, if you've got problems in areas and you recognize that, well, don't go hang around people who've got the same problems. My goodness, you'll wind up, you know, magnifying that problem, increasing that problem. You know, the way we say this proverb where it says, companion of the wise get yet wiser, and he who walks the wise man will get yet wiser, the companion of fools will be destroyed. We say something like this: if you can't soar with eagles if you're walking with a bunch of turkeys. Amen. And that's so true. That's really that scripture. That is that very scripture, just kind of modernized, you know, as it were. And you all know what we're talking about. So associations are very important because of the way we're made. It's important because, see, don't ever get to thinking you are unaffected, that you're Superman or Superwoman, and that you can go through life without ever being affected by your associations. Oh, I'm strong. I'm my own man. No, there is no such thing as your own man. There's no such thing as an own woman. You are not made that way. We are always going to be satellites, and he's always going to be the sun. You're never going to be the sun. We're always going to be adjectives. He's always going to be the noun. You will never be the noun. We're going to always complement a noun. You can choose the noun you complement. You can choose the sun you orbit around. But you're never going to be the sun, and you're never going to be the noun. That's very important to realize that. That's okay when we find that out. For a short time he served God. I said this the other day. Bob Dylan put out that Slow Train Coming album, you know. And I think he served God for just long enough to get that album out, and then he got back in sin, quit serving God. But anyway, he had a song that was real popular, says, you got to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord. I can't even sing as bad as he does. But anyway, you got to serve somebody. You know, you do have to serve somebody. You will always serve somebody. You'll be it God or be it the... You may think you're serving yourself, but you're really serving the devil, serving the world, serving pride, conceit, and all those kinds of things. And if you gravitate toward people that are that same way, you'll just multiply that problem. Hello. Associations are vitally important. That's the best advice I could give anybody that gets saved is, first of all, get you some new friends. Get you some church friends. Just coming to church on occasion reading your Bible is not going to do it. If you don't break fellowship somehow. Now, you don't hate them. You still pray for them. Are you with me? I mean, we don't hold our nose up against them. And we still work with people. And we still have certain associations that we... In the world, we're in the world, but not of it. But our free time and our fellowship should be with family, with church, with Christians. Are you with me? Christian people, people that, you know, serve God. Hey, don't hang around people that are ungodly and hateful and angry and, you know, hate the world. Got a rebel spirit, you know. No, he who walks with wise men will be wise. I know it may be hard to find somebody wiser than you are, but they're out there. Hello. Proverbs 22. Proverbs 22. Still in Proverbs. Proverbs is a great book. My goodness. I love Proverbs. You know it's one of my favorite books. You know I have 66 favorite books. This is one of them. Proverbs 22. Listen to this. This is so good. Verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man. Well, because that's wrong to be angry. Well, yeah, it is. That's wrong. But there's something else deeper than just that, it being wrong. Make no friends with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go. Why? Lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. Wow. Everybody say influence. Okay? That's the power of influence. Actually, we all have it. This is what's so good about this. We all are affected by it. And we all have it to give. And influence is something that everybody has. And it's something that everybody is affected by. So we're not alone. There's no solo mente here. There's no lone rangers in God. Are you with me? There's no, as John Donne says, no man is an island entire unto himself, but every man is a piece of the whole. And if a piece or a clod, he was saying in the Meditations, how he wrote back then. If a piece of the continent is washed off into the sea, Europe, the continent, is the less. And he says, every man's death diminishes me, for I am a part of mankind. Therefore, sin not for whom the bell tolls, for it tolls for thee. It's tolling for you, and it's clanging for you to be a part of mankind, but to be an influence in mankind, make a difference in mankind. We're a part of a whole here. We are created socially to be a part of society. The church is a society. Churches, I remind you, something that God made. Hello. First thing God instituted was marriage, which is a society. It's an institution. I know many people feel like they're in an institution when they're married, but that's not what I'm talking about. It is a group by virtue of what it is, by nature of what it is. We are part of a group. We were made to be a part of a whole. We are never intended to be the whole. We are never intended individually to be the body. We individually are members. We collectively are the body. And we learn and we grow from each other. We influence each other, and we're influenced by each other. So here we could see the power of influence in a bad or a negative way. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go. You know, you can hang around people, don't go to church, or go. I just keep saying church. Now, don't think this is just a message about going to church. Obviously, we're in church, and I'm preaching, and I'm ministering, and I'm a pastor, and I'm obviously going to say that. But it applies to anything, anything, okay? In this case, it was angry people. You know, if people are angry all the time, critical all the time, well, that'd go back to Psalms 1, walk not in the counsel of the ungodly. Or stand in the way of the sinner. Sit in the seat of the scornful. Scornful. See, those are angry, critical people. Always criticize. Anybody can criticize. Listen. I mean, we got an election going on. I'm sure you know there's an election going on. If you don't, you sure don't get out much, and you don't have a TV or a radio. So at times like this, man, I mean, the critics are, it's flying. I mean, the criticism is going out there about all these candidates and this, what's wrong with this and that one. But, you know, ultimately it comes down to somebody you're going to have to vote for. And it may be the evil of two lessers. I don't know. But you're going to have to vote for somebody. You're going to have to pray for somebody. Because we have a mandate from God to pray for our country and pray for the leaders of our country. So if it looks like it's getting down to a couple here, we got to make a decision on, you better find something good about one of them to vote for. And then get on your knees and pray about all the other stuff that you don't like. Because, you know, I know two guys get together, we start talking politics, we'll solve all the problems of the world in about 5-10 minutes. We'll have them all solved. You know, armchair quarterbacks, everybody can do that. We don't just do that with a country, though. We'll do that with a business. Yeah. We'll be working in a company, start talking about the boss. We'll do it in a church, start talking about the pastor or the song leader. Or, you know, it's something we have to guard against. And one way to guard against it is the associations we have. You know, you ought to hang around people that are positive. Hang around people that are can-do people. People that believe God, trust God, stand on the word, pray. You know what will happen to you? You'll start getting that way yourself.
Amen.
You ever been around somebody and you walk away, man, you just feel stronger. Feel more confident about the situation. You ever been around somebody and you felt worse after it was all over? Man, I felt pretty good until I got talking to them. Like that guy, you know, so we're going to jump off that bridge and this guy comes around, oh, no, don't jump, please don't jump. And he gets upside the guy and he says, man, there's nothing worth jumping off that bridge for. You don't even want to think about doing it. Life's too good. And the guy starts telling him what happened to him, and this happened, that happened, this happened. And before long, the guy looks at him and says, I'll jump with you. You know, he went up there first to help the guy, and he got influenced by it. That's what we're talking about, the power of influence. So, make no friendship with an angry man. With a furious man thou shalt not go. Do not go. Why? Lest you learn his ways. And set a snare for your soul. You know, I think a Lot. Remember Lot, Abraham's nephew? I mean, what a tragic story of a fall. I mean, if you really think about Lot and how he was reduced down, just him and two daughters hiding in a cave eventually because the city he went to was just, destruction was rained down upon it, Sodom and Gomorrah, because of homosexuality, incidentally. That's what the word Sodom means, where it came from, Sodom and Gomorrah. But the point is, he at one time he had so many flocks of sheep and so many shepherds when he was with Abraham that they were in contention and division. His shepherds couldn't get along with Abraham's shepherds. And Abraham said, Lot, don't let this dissension be between us. We don't need this. Why don't you go one direction with your group and all your... He had flocks of sheep. He must have had a huge entourage of people and servants. I mean, he had to. This was a major deal. You read it in Genesis, it was major. They had a major division argument. If it was just one little group, it wasn't that big a deal, but it must have been several. He says, you pick where you want to go, Lot, and I'll go wherever you pick, I'll go the other way. That's what Abraham said. Now, bear in mind, Abraham probably messed up when he brought Lot with him. Because in Genesis 12, when God told Abraham to leave Ur, the Chaldees, he said, leave your kindred. And he drug Lot with him. Lot was always a problem. Remember, he had to go redeem him save him from the Chaldeans in Genesis the 14th chapter. You do know that, don't you? Okay, I'm going to give a test on this later. Because he got abducted then and got captured then, and Abraham had to go up and get him and bring him back and recapture and get him back, and he did. But here he goes off to Sodom and Gomorrah because it was green-looking land. It looked good. And he got down there, and if I understand the Bible right and you read it right, he must have lost everything he had. Because when God destroyed that city, he spared Lot, his wife, and his two daughters. And he left with that, and he lost his wife on the way because she was so influenced by being in that city so long to be a part of that. She looked back when God told her not to look back, and she was turning to pillar of salt. I mean, you know the story. But it's a story, if you think about it, it's a story about the power of influence. It really is. It's a story in a negative way, in a destructive way, how associations can bring you down. And it's a sad story, really, when you think about it, because Lot had everything going for him. But he hung around, and he hung around that group, and hung around that group, and his soul was vexed, the Bible said, you know, by hanging around those people so long. And it must have influenced him. It was a sad thing. But it's an example for us not to follow. I always like to say this. The Bible tells us how to make it, and if you're so inclined, it tells you how to go under too. In fact, it tells you step by step how you can ruin your life. Of course, now, all the time it tells you don't do this. But if you're so inclined, if you have this bent or this proclivity to self-destruction, then the Bible tells you exactly how to self-destruct. It tells you how to do that. And here he's giving us some instruction. You ever been around angry people? Sure, we have all been around that. Come on. Don't pick that up. Don't hang around. Don't make those kind of people your friends. I mean, minister to them, pray for them. But if you hang around them, you're going to pick that up because of association and influence. Turn over to Proverbs 27. Just good counsel. Amen?
Amen.
Just good counsel, good wisdom. If you don't think you can improve and you don't think you can get any better, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to all the rest of us. Imperfect people. I kind of think, you know, the Statue of Liberty out there, you know, it says, bring your tired, your poor, your destitute, and what does it say, friend?
Hungry masses
to this golden shore. You know, God's clarion call is bring the weak, bring the lost, bring the blind, bring the sinner, bring them. That's God helps imperfect people. He does, and we have to admit we're blind before we see. We have to admit we have a need before we can get some help. And so we have to realize that. We also have to know our limitations. Everybody's got limitations. And we are made in such a way, wired in such a way, that who we hang around with is very important. God made us that way. That's a good thing when you understand it, because you can use it to your advantage. By hanging around people that serve God. By hanging around people that have good families. You know what? You can prove your family. By hanging around people that are a little calmer than you are. Me, I'm kind of like a high-strung horse. I'm a little high-strung. A little hyper sometimes. But Brenda has helped me a bunch being real low key. We balanced each other out.
Amen.
I didn't need an amen on that. That's okay. But it's true. We balance each other out. It's helped me. See, Brenda has helped me. She saved me in so many ways over the years with her demeanor and her laid back attitude, you know. And I'm just like a, you know, bull in a china shop. I mean, I'm just go get them. And over the years, I have really, believe it or not, I have calmed down. If anybody knows me, I have. Calm down a little bit. I'm just kind of hyper. I'm high strung. That's good, but you know what? You can't run on that. It has some good qualities. I mean, that can be used in a positive way, but you need to balance that out. You know, every one of us probably has a little extra gifting in one area, probably a little more passionate in one area than another, but by itself, it'll burn you out. And you need to be around other people that have other gifts. And all of us getting together kind of balances it, just kind of calms us down, are you in a good way? That's a good thing. And here, this is what he's saying right here in Proverbs 27. He says, as iron, 17th verse, Proverbs 27, verse 17. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Woo! Man, I like that.
Amen.
You know, you get around people who have different gifts than you do, and it blesses you. A lot of times, I just envy certain people. Certain people that just calm, cool, collective all the time, you know. It just amazes me. People that can be quiet. That amazes me. Never had that gift. I guess that's why God called me to pastor, you know.
Yeah.
You know, to preach, you got to be about half ham anyway. You got to be able to talk a lot. And so I had that going for me already. But I'm just amazed at certain people that have certain gifts. But I learned, the more I'm around them, the more I kind of pick up that, you know, for a day or two. But I get back around them, I pick it back up again. Oh, yeah, I want to be like that. We need heroes. We need role models.
Amen.
We just make sure they're biblical. Make sure they're godly. Make sure they're holy role models. Amen? And there are people that have got some things figured out. There are people that are doing good in some areas. There are good marriages. There are good families. There are good businessmen. There are people that have a great relationship with their employees. Their employees have a great relationship with their employer and back and forth. Any area you can think of, there's somebody out there shining the light in that area. Well, hang around them. Listen to them. Follow them. Watch them. Amen? And choose your friends. Choose your friends wisely. Because as iron sharpens iron, a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. And you can sharpen a bad habit or you can sharpen a good one. Are you with me? And you get around somebody that's got some good traits, you can sharpen some good habits in your life, some good characteristics, some good traits in your life. A lot of sharpening goes on in church. A lot of sharpening goes on where we're praising the Lord. And you know, and you see men, women, kids coming serving God. It's good. It does something to us. I like that. I'm not alone. Are you with me? I know a lot of people are going through a lot of things, but you know, they come to church. They come to church, serve God. They can do it, I can do it.
Amen.
They can let all that go, and they can praise God. And they can get their Bibles out when the preacher preaches. And you know, I mean, that's good stuff. I like that. I need that. I'm not alone. Every time I come to church, I realize I'm not alone. I'm not alone. I think of people whose lives have turned around. And I think, you know what? It's worth it. It's worth it.
Amen.
We're doing some good. International Outreach Church is doing some good. Every time I see someone who's turned around, or someone who's made a milestone, serving God a year now, 2 years now, whatever the case may be, I think, yeah, we're doing some good. I remember Brother Osteen came to me one time. Brother Osteen was kind of the kind of man that just made you feel like $1 million. He really did. I don't care who you were, out in the thousands in the audience, he'd be preaching, and you'd think he was preaching to you. And you felt like when you left, you just felt like you had a purpose. You had a destiny. You could make a difference. You know, God loves me. I count. I'm somebody. You know, and he just had that gift because he was an encourager and he was an exhorter. And he was a real pastor, you know. But I was down in, I was down in Mexico doing some mission work down there for a couple of weeks with Walt Langston. This is 1992. And it was during spring break, and I came back. We'd driven across the border and preached all over Mexico, San Luis Potosi, and different places there. I think Guadalajara. I can't remember all the places we went. But when we came back through Houston, and Brenda went down with the kids in 1992 to meet us down there to pick me up. And we went by Lakewood because they were going to tear down the old building. They'd built a new one, not the one they're in now. They'd built a new one that'd seat over 8,000 people. That's the old one now. That's the new old one. And the original one, or the first new one, it gets confusing because they were always building, that we went to from 1975 to 1982, we saw it grow from 700 to 5,000 people. And by this time, 92, they were running probably about 10,000, 12,000 people or so. So I wanted to get pictures of that old building because, you know, I had some memories there. I mean, that's where Brent and I cut our teeth spiritually. That's where I grew up spiritually. Brother Osteen was my pastor. That's where I first started teaching in classes. And we were over the counselors for 2 years. They had 175 counselors, and we were over the counselors there. It's where God called me to teach and called me to pastor. That's when I realized the call of God to come here and start this church, there at Lakewood Church. And so I was going to get pictures of that old building before they tore it down. And it was in the middle of the day, and we pulled up, and I was taking pictures, and lo and behold, who pulls up? There's nobody there. Brother Osteen pulls up. And Joel. That's before Joel ever preached a sermon in his life. That's when he was just a kid, young guy. And they pull up and get out, you know, and, Mike, what are you doing? I said, Brother Osteen, what are you doing here? He said, well, what are you doing here? I said, well, I'm on my way back to Wills Point. You know, we'd already been up here for 10 years. I said, I've been on a mission trip, and I just want to get pictures of the building. And he came up to me, and this is just the way he did. He says, Mike, and he put his arm around me, and he says, you know, when I think of whether I've done any good at all, I think about you.
Amen.
And I remember punching him, and I said, oh, Brother Osteen, what are you talking about? You know, because I'm thinking, good Lord. You know, Wills Point, Texas. I mean, most people ain't even heard of Wills Point, Texas. He says, no, no. He said, you know, just where you came from, and look at all your kids serving God. Here you are on a mission trip, and you've been faithful up there in Wills Point. He says, your time's coming.
Yeah.
You know, he told me, he says, you've been faithful. And he says, I know I've done some good when I think about you. That just blessed me. I mean, you know, I thought, and I'm sure he said that to other people, and I'm sure he said it to a lot of people in his life. And I hope it meant a lot, as much to them as it meant to me. Because I'm going to tell you, it made me feel like $1 million. But I think about that often, even passing this church. I see people whose lives are changed, and I know we're doing some good. Are you with me?
Amen.
We're influencing in a good way.
Yeah.
We're being a good role model as a church. We're not perfect, but we've done some good if one life has changed. We're doing some good if somebody gets right with God. If somebody comes back, if somebody gets forgiven, if somebody gets out of drugs and jails, if somebody turns their life over to the Lord, you know what? We've done some good.
Amen.
And that ought to make us want to serve God. It'll make us want to serve God, and it will make us want to be that example and be that role model. My life does count, and your life does count. And who you hang around with influences you.
That's right, amen.
Uh-huh. You know, so there's always something bigger here that we got to think of. You got to keep in mind here. Why does it matter who I hang around with? Because who you hang around is going to affect you. And so, as you go, so goes everybody that's influenced by you. Because like it or not, or realize it or not, or admit it or not, you do influence people. There's somebody that looks to you. Maybe your children. I don't know. That enough would do it. That alone would do it. You know, one of the reasons I got saved, of course it was because people prayed for me and somebody was witnessing to me. It was back in 1975. And I've told the story before. As a man on my job, my foreman began to witness to me and tell me about the Lord. And I was wild, man. I was in drugs and I was wild back then, and made fun of him and cussed God in front of him and everything. I mean, just you know, I'm lost as a goose. And proud and indignant, you know, all those things. Well, getting saved, it's not like just turn your life over to God. It's more like laying down your arms of rebellion because you've been fighting them.
That's right.
You know.
Yeah.
But one of the things that really got me, I remember sitting in at the table and eating, it was Brent and I and Chris. Chris is about 2 years old, I think. Year and a half. And I was looking over at Chris, and I was thinking, I don't know, all this time I'm thinking, well, you know, if I go to hell, I can handle that. You know, that's so stupid. You start talking like that. But that's the way your mind thinks when you're just heat up with pride. And I looked over at my son, and he was, you know, I had peanut butter in his hair or something, I don't know. He's in a high chair. He's about a year and a half old. And I know now it was God. I didn't know it then. But I heard this, yeah, but what if he goes to hell?
Praise God.
That hit me. I mean, that really, I didn't cry or anything right then. I wasn't into that. Now I'll cry, drop the hat. But it hit me, and I couldn't get away from that. And it got stronger the more I thought about it. If he goes to hell, because I didn't tell him about Jesus. My boy, what if my boy goes to hell? Because I don't turn my life over to Jesus. It's no longer me anymore. It's not just me.
Yeah.
It's never just me. Are you with me? It's always about everybody else. Think about it. I don't care how you get down to it. Yeah, God loves me, sure. Yeah, I count, no question. Yes, he would have died for me, no question, because I'm important to him. But you know what? So is everybody else. Everybody else is important too. And so I need to live for God for him. Of course, subsequently, we've had 5 children now, you know, since then 4 more. And they're all serving God.
Amen.
And when I got saved, I made that vow that all my children would serve God and everybody they hook up with. And that's been my greatest mission field. And I've put more faith in that than anything I've ever put my faith in. And I've trusted God and prayed and believed in Brent and I both. We've stood on the Word and stood on the Word for our children and everybody they hook up with. You know what? Everybody, all my children are serving God and everybody they hooked up with.
Yeah.
There's a couple of them right here. God honors His Word. Amen.
Amen.
But it took some sacrifice on our part. It took some living right on our part. It took us hanging around the right people, taking our children to church. Hello. Hanging around people that went to church. Making them hang around people that went to church. Not letting them hang around with kids that didn't go to church. We took some abuse for that. But we're picking high cotton now. Amen?
Yeah,
hallelujah.
Right.
This is so important, your association, who you hang around with, who your children hang around with. It's so important to get in church. You know, Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. Even more so, as you see the day approaching, the coming of the Lord. Because we need a witness. There needs to be a light. There is no, the last vestige of hope this world has as an organization or as a group is the church. This world has no hope outside the church, I'm telling you. Our hope's in Jesus, but we are the light. We are the message. Are you with me? And if the church, as goes the church, so goes the city, and so goes the town, the state, and the country and the world. It starts, of course, with a family and then the church, and we've got to be that role model, that example. Turn to 2 Corinthians 6. We'll close this out. Is it helping you? Didn't mean to be just so transparent up here, bare my soul. But I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God I did turn my life over to Jesus Christ. Thank God I did get saved in 1975. Thank God I did raise my children in the Lord. And their admonition and nurture of the Lord. The Bible says if you raise your children, the admonition and nurture of the Lord when they are old, they will not depart.
Amen.
They will not depart. And so we stood on that scripture. We stood on Acts 16:31 says he'll make a way for you and your whole household to be saved. That's another scripture we stood on a lot for our children. Hallelujah. I will not go around the world, preach the gospel, and let my family go to hell.
Amen.
And I have gone around the world. And I do preach the gospel around the world. But my greatest mission field is my family. My greatest, the greatest thing on my resume is my family. The greatest recommendation I have as a preacher and a minister of the gospel is my family. Hello? I've had people say that even. That what impressed them, all the things you could think of, and they said, you know what impressed me, Pastor, all your kids serving God. Now, that's a shame that that should impress people because really that's the way it ought to be. But too many times that's not the case. Too many times PKs, preacher kids, are wild and march hair. Hello? But that usually just, the problem there usually lies within the home life. There's not a consistency there. And we've always consistently, we pray about everything. We actually read the Bible at the house. Oh, yeah. 2 Corinthians 6. Okay, you found it?
Yes.
Let's wrap this up. 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14 says, do not be equally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship, notice this is interesting. What fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness or unrighteousness? Well, that makes sense. I mean, what's going on here? What fellowship do you have? You know, fellowship is two fellows in the same ship. Okay? So, unrighteousness is going in another ship. That's another ship. That's going another direction. Righteousness is in one ship going another direction. So, those are two ships. That's not one ship. That's two ships. You're going to have to get out of one of those ships and get in the other ship. And have fellowship with the same fellows in the same ship. You're getting a little bit anyway. So what fellowship has, common cause. That's what we're talking about. Common ground. I think about, thought I lost something there. Common cause, common ground. When you think of friends, I heard this defined in The Four Loves by C.S. Lewis wrote a book. He wrote a book called The Four Loves. Great book. He talked about love. This is good. There's four types of love mentioned in the Bible, four Greek words for love. There's eros, which we kind of think of it as erotic, but eros really is just, it was a good thing, even amongst marriage. It wasn't the pornographic thing we think of now. It's kind of taken on a new meaning, but eros just means the love for a woman, woman's love for a man, so on. It was a good thing. It was a good thing. And then there's phileo, which is friendship. Are you with me? Philadelphia is the love of brethren. The phileo was a love, but it's more of a human love. And then there was storge, which is kind of an affectionate love, like you have a favorite chair. I love this chair. I love banana pudding. That's kind of affectionate love. Okay, so that's a little different. See, in Greek, you differentiated between these loves. We just say love for everything. Man, I love that show. I love that show. I just love that. Man, I love that. I love that meal. That was so good. I love my wife. Well, now, come on. You don't love all that stuff the same way. Well, in Greek, you understood the difference between those kinds of love. Y'all still with me? Okay, I hadn't lost you. So there was agape, which is the God kind of love. That's the kind of love. It always comes from the Greek word agape, where it says God so loved the world. You know, God loves you with an everlasting love. I mean, that's agape. That's the God kind of love. That's got to be king. That's got to be king. Everything's got to be self-servient to that. All your other loves have to serve that love. Well, I did it for the love of family. I did it for the love of friends. I did it for the love of this. Well, if it's not for the love of God, it'll always get you in trouble. Eventually, it'll get you in trouble. You have to balance all of the loves with God's love. But he talked about love in this sense. He said friendship, storge, a little bit of phileo. Just fillet that storge, okay? It's having a common interest. If I have a friend, friendship, then we have a common interest. And the picture of that is two people looking at something in common. Two hunters looking at hunting. Two fishermen. They love fish. They love to fish. They're looking out together at a common cause. They're friends. And their friendship is based on some common fellowship, some common friendship, something they have in common. Get it? See, now Brenda and I don't have that all the time. Stay with me. Because Brent and I are lovers, not friends. We are friends. Stay with me. But beyond that, we are more than that. We are lovers. Friends stand beside each other looking at something they love in common. Lovers just look at each other because they love each other. Are you with me?
Amen.
She's not going to go hunting with me, okay? And I'm not going to sew dresses with her. And I'm not going to watch those movies she watches. And it's not going to happen. Come on. Come on. But one thing for sure, I love her.
Amen.
I love her. We're lovers. See? Now, there's a balance there. You need to be friends with your wife. I understand that principle. But you can only take that so far. You better love your wife, because just being friends is not going to make it happen. Right? You've got to love your wife.
Amen.
So, friends stand side by side with a common cause. Lovers are their common cause. They look at each other. So you can even see, you picture them differently, the way they look, what they look at, you know, in that sense. So fellowship, when he's talking about this, what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? Well, what common cause is there? Why would you hang around with somebody? You don't even have the same common cause. It makes no sense, see? We're talking, you like to hunt hogs, and the guy's a polo player. Nothing wrong with polo playing. That's fine. But unless you take up polo playing, or he takes up hog hunting, you really don't have, there's no fellowship here. I mean, that's kind of a wild example. We're not talking about lovers. We're just talking about friends.
Yeah.
Who do you hang around with? What's your common cause? What brings you together? Why do you hang around with each other? What is it that you have in common? You start thinking about that, and you begin to realize, our common cause is not a good thing. That's not a good thing we're hanging around. I'm hanging around with that person because of this or that or this or that. And you get to thinking about it, that's not a good thing. So he defines it and he says, what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Obviously none. Are you with me?
Amen.
What communion has light with darkness? They're opposite. What accord, or concord, King James says, what accord has Christ with Belial? Wow. Actually, he's calling us righteousness. Because we are the righteousness of God now, not our own, but His. He's calling us light. We are light, because He's made us light. He's calling us Christ. Now, I am not Jesus, but I am the body of Christ, and so are you. Is that not so? We should not be ashamed of who we are. Amen? And we ought to hang around people that are part of that body too. And he goes on and says, what part has a believer with an unbeliever? You know, I might work with them. I might pray for them. I'm not going to look down on them, my nose down on them, because I was that way too, myself. I don't think I'm better. But I'm not going to fellowship and spend my time with someone that just curses God, doesn't like. Why would I do that? I can't even build my faith that way. I'm going to tear my faith down if I do that. So he says, what part is a believer with an unbeliever? What agreement has the temple of God? Woo! Did you know that? You're a temple of God. With idols, for you are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will dwell in them. I'll walk in them. I'll be their God. They shall be my people. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Well, that's strong, really, when you think about it. Now, that's not self-righteousness. That's not going out there and telling everybody how no good and worthless they are. In fact, you ought to love people and bring them in by your love and compassionately pray for them and minister to them and be nice and kind to them. But watch your associations. You know, as I said earlier, you know more about a person by their associations than by their blood relations. I mean, we can say what we want to say, but really who we hang around with tells us more about a person, because that's, you choose that. You don't choose who your family is, but you do choose who you hang around with.
Amen.
So be that role model, be that witness. If you want to walk or soar with eagles, quit hanging around those turkeys. Are you okay? You receive that in the spirit that I'm sharing that? I mean, I don't say that in a mean way, and goodness gracious, that's something we all have to watch. Because everybody wants to be accepted, everybody wants fellowship, and there's nothing wrong with that. We're wired that way, to be accepted, to be loved. Everybody wants that. That's why people go to the bars. That's because they have some camaraderie there. But see, that's what we ought to have in church. That's what we ought to, with our Christian brothers and friends. We ought to be lifting up each other and helping each other. You ought to feel that way when you come to church.
Amen.
Amen. And get it from God. Hallelujah. And God's people.